Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
On January 12, 2010, a violent earthquake struck the island nation of Haiti. Suddenly and without warning, the ground shook violently. Buildings toppled like toys struck to the ground. Steel was bent. Solid concrete turned to ashes. Cars were smashed. People were killed. And a nation lay in ruins in just a moment. For some, the earthquake in Haiti brought instant death without any chance to flee. For others, it brought days and weeks of pain and agony as the wounded flooded the hospitals. But for 4-year-old Paul Derlis, the earthquake brought sudden darkness. Paul was playing on the ground floor of his home when the entire building collapsed around him. Buried under mounds of steel and concrete, Paul could not see anything. He was trapped in a small cave inside the house. Too small to dig his way out, too scared to know what to do, too frail to cry for help. All little Paul Derlis could do was wait in the darkness. The darkness covered Paul like a blanket. Whether night or day, Paul couldn't keep track of time. His mother had escaped, but Paul didn't know, for the darkness kept him from seeing. Men searched for him in vain, but Paul didn't know, for the darkness kept this from him too. It was a darkness that seemed to last forever, from which there was no escape, no hope, no return. But God did not forget Paul Derlis. 60 hours after the earthquake struck, light shone into his darkened world. A neighbor passing by had heard Paul cry out for his mama. Men were summoned. Cinder blocks were lifted. Wooden beams were moved. Steel was pulled back. And suddenly a shaft of light pierced the dark hole where Paul lay trapped. Paul was alive. Light had come. Hope was born again. All had seemed lost, but when Paul saw the light, his deliverance was secured. You see, the light meant life. The light meant freedom. The light meant safety. The light meant reunion with family. The light meant the darkness was gone. The night was over and the suffering had ended. No more pain, no more hunger, no more fear. God shone his light on Paul Derlis, the miracle boy of Haiti. And in the true story of Paul Derlis, there's a message of hope for all of us. For you see, our world today is facing the same desperate condition that the people of Haiti faced after the earthquake struck. It's not just physical desperation, it's spiritual as well. For every day, tens of thousands pass into eternity without the light of life, Jesus Christ. Every day, millions of souls live in darkness, bound by Satan. Every day, fear and sin and hatred and suffering bury millions of souls around the globe in a prison of darkness and despair. And though we may not see it with our physical eyes, men and women are trapped in a world turned upside down. Without Christ, they are doomed. Without the light of life, they are gripped with fear. Millions are hopeless in the darkness. But God has not left us alone in the dark. God has not forgotten his world. Just like Paul Derlis, he has sent someone to lift us up and deliver us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pull back the rubble and bring us out. For he is the light of the world. And we know that hope is on the way when we see the light. We know our rescue is certain when the light pierces our dark world and suddenly we can see again. But not only has God given Jesus the light to the world, he's also given you and I as a light to the world. For you see, Jesus brought light to the world and he continues to bring light through us, his people. You see, God's real goal wasn't just to shine his light by himself. His goal was to reproduce and multiply light in all of his people so that we too could shine in this world. His goal is for all of us, his sons and daughters, to become bright and shining lights in the world today. God wants to use you to shine his light and dispel darkness from our world. That's the powerful truth in today's sermon titled, You Are the Light of the World. But before we learn more, let's take a moment and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, the light of the world. His light pierced our darkness and brought us deliverance. But I pray today, Lord, that you'll open our eyes not just to see the light of Christ, but to see our responsibility to continue to carry that light and shine it to the world. Help us today, Lord, to understand that we are your light bearers. We are your reflection of your glory. And the world today desperately needs to see you in us. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds that we might do your will and bring you glory. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment, join your faith with mine right now. Put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our broadcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I believe that God himself has brought us together so that he can do something awesome in our midst. That's why I'm convinced that you're not here by accident or by coincidence. You're watching and listening today because God has something good in store for you. If you believe it, say amen. And you've picked a great day to join in as I begin a brand new sermon series today titled Masterpiece. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to discover powerful truths about our identity in Christ. We're going to learn how God sees us and what that means for our lives. So let's begin by learning the amazing truths of who we are in Christ so that we can become who God has called us to be. And today our scripture text is a very famous passage that actually speaks about our identity and our responsibility. It's the words of Jesus found in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. These verses are on your screen and also on your sermon notes available free of charge on my Facebook page. But I believe God's word has the most impact when it's in our hearts and proclaimed on our lips. So I want to invite everybody to read the word of God out loud together with me. Are you ready? Let's read it like we mean it. Here we go. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You are the light of the world. Just put your hand on your chest and say, I am the light of the world. Now, you may be surprised to hear that. You may even feel slightly uncomfortable saying that about yourself. You may feel that, is that really true? After all, isn't it Jesus who's the light of the world? But the wonderful truth is that Jesus came to bring us light, and Jesus came to make us light. You see, because he is the light, when he lives in us, we also become the light. Because darkness cannot overcome his light, it can't overcome our light either. Because his light brought life to all men, our light will also bring life to men. And that's why Jesus told us, "You are the light of the world." So let's look closely at God's word today and discover three truths about God's call for you to be the light of the world. And here's your first truth today. You are called to be a blaze for God. See, the first thing Jesus proclaims about you and I today in this passage is that we are called to be a blaze for God. He says in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." And here's what that means for us today. When we receive the light of the world, we become light to the world. When Jesus lives in us, we reflect his nature to others. So here's the truth you need to put on your keychain and carry along with you today. Your identity leads to your responsibility. God calls you who you are so that he can use you. He speaks about you so he can speak through you. That's what the word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. Listen carefully. "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." We now have this light shining in our hearts. In other words, God gave us the light so that his light would shine in us. He saved us to serve his purposes. He's enlightened us so that we can reflect that light to others. And I say to you today, by the power of God, it's time for you to accept that your purpose in life is from God. It's to reflect God's light. You may be a banker, but your main purpose in life is not to bank, but to shine. You may be a teacher, but your main purpose in life is not to teach, but to shine. You may be a housewife, but your main purpose in life is not to housewife, but to shine. The problem for many of us is that we don't see ourselves as a light that can shine. We might say, well, I'm too hidden. I'm in an obscure place. No one notices me. Or you might think, well, I'm not in the right environment to shine for Jesus. And we downplay our call and emphasize our excuses. But you'll never shine for Jesus as a light in this world till you accept that he has called you for his purposes. And when you accept that call, new horizons will open to you. You have to accept your identity in Christ so you can fulfill your responsibility in Christ. And the good news for all of us is that it doesn't matter where you are today, your light can still shine. It doesn't matter how dark it is around you. The darker your environment, the brighter your light will shine. See, here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. What is around you does not determine what God put in you. Once upon a time, there was a very deep and dark cave in the Shai Hills here in Ghana. This deep and dark cave lived under the ground, as all caves do. It had spent its entire life in darkness, and this cave had never seen the light. Well, one day the warm Ghana sun came out to play. The warm Ghanaian sun was dancing and skipping all over the Shai Hills, and it so happened that the warm Ghanaian sun found its way to the mouth of this deep, dark cave. So the sun called out to the deep, dark cave, "Come up into the light. Come and see the sunshine." The cave replied, "I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? There isn't anything in the world but darkness." Well, the sun kept persuading, and finally the cave ventured forth, and suddenly the cave met the warm Ghanaian sun. The cave was surprised to see light everywhere. The cave had never seen light, and he was dazzled by the brilliance and glory of the light. Then the cave looked up to the sun and said, "Come with me. I want to show you the darkness." And the sun said, "What is darkness? I don't know what darkness is. I've never seen it before." The cave replied, "Come and see." And so the sun accepted the invitation. The sun went down into the cave and said, "Show me your darkness." But when the sun came into the cave, there was no darkness remaining. For wherever the light went, the darkness was dispelled. And so it is with us in Christ. No matter how deep your cave, the light of Christ is stronger. There is no pit so deep that God's light can't penetrate it. There's no night so dark that God's light can't overcome it. He is the light of the world, and though darkness covers the earth, his light has come and his light has overcome. That's why the Bible says in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. See, friend, you may be in a limited environment with no way in the natural to get out, to get an education, to be successful. But what's around you does not determine what God put in you. Because his life is inside of you, you have seeds of greatness in you. Because he has called you, you are alive with possibility and success and ideas and creativity. The fact is, God has chosen you. He has a plan for you. His plan is not based on who you are or where you come from or your education or your talents. His plan is based on his choice, and God has planned and chosen you for a purpose. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans 8:29. Listen carefully. God planned those he had chosen would become like his son. In that way, Christ will be the first and most honored among many brothers. And understand today that God put you here on earth so that you could become like Jesus. As he shone, you will shine. As he lived, you will live. As he ministered to others, you will minister to others. He's the first, you are the follower. He's the original, you are the photocopy. He is the light, and we are the light. That's why it's so vital for you to know your identity in Christ, to know that you are the light of the world. When you know who God has called you to be, you will know what he's called you to do. Listen to how this truth is repeated in 1 Peter 2:9 with these words. But you are a chosen people. So first he gives us our identity. You are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That's who we are. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So first, you are identified. Then second, you're given a purpose. You're identified as the people of God so that you can proclaim the goodness of God. You're chosen to come to the light so that you can display the light. That's the same truth we find in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a plan for you, a plan to do good, a plan to be good, a plan to live good, a plan to shine for Jesus. And it's time for you and I to accept our identity and start acting in our capacity as a light. It's time to get up and let Jesus shine through us to bring hope to this world. So hear the word of the Lord to you today in Isaiah 61:2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And God has sent his light to us because there is a desperate need in the world. The world is filled with darkness. It's a thick darkness. It's not just the physical darkness of disease and war and poverty and hatred. It's the spiritual darkness of unbelief, of false religion, of idolatry, and of sin. But when we embrace his light, the darkness flees before us. When we become a blaze for God, the darkness cannot stand. And friends, you've got to know today that God's light is so strong, there is no darkness that can stand before it. When light appears, darkness flees. And when God says, your light has come, then every darkness must go from your life. And I declare it so to you today, in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare darkness must flee and light must shine into every corner of your life for the glory of God, in the name of Jesus. For God has called you to be ablaze for his glory. And that brings us to our second truth today. You are called to ascend for a purpose. When you are ablaze for God, then the second part of his plan is to lift you up so that your light can shine. That's why Jesus continues in verse 14 with these words, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So first, Jesus identifies you as the light. Then he makes a powerful promise. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, Jesus is promising you a prominent place of power and influence. He's calling you to ascend to the hilltop so that the light in you can light the world. And the good news is, when you accept God's purpose for your life, you access his promise and power for your life. When you surrender to his plan, he will give you all the power you need to fulfill his purpose. That's why 1 John 5:4 says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And I'm here to declare to you today, when you get Jesus in you, you get power in you. When you become born again, you're born into victory. When you come out of darkness and receive Jesus as the light, then light becomes your identity. Light becomes your destiny. Light becomes who you are. So just say, I am the light of the world. See, things may look dark to you right now, but look with the eyes of faith and see that your victory is guaranteed. The devil may be attacking you, but see with the eyes of faith and know that you can never be defeated. In fact, the more you are attacked, the more you should rejoice. For the reason the devil attacks you is because he knows you're a threat to his kingdom. Reminds me of the time when an old pastor was walking along the road with his young disciple apprentice pastor. Up ahead, they saw the devil was coming towards them on the road. And the young apprentice pastor started to panic. Look, he said, the devil is coming right at us. What do? We better run and hide. Why is the enemy coming along the road to meet us? But the old pastor remained calm. He turned to his apprentice and said, "My son, there's no need to run or panic. It's completely normal for men of God to meet the devil coming on the road. The only time you should be afraid is when you're walking down the road and you don't meet the devil coming towards you." The young apprentice pastor was surprised. "What do you mean, my father?" he said. Then the old pastor replied, "If you're walking on the road and you meet the devil coming towards you, it means you and he are moving in the opposite direction. If you just keep going, you will avoid the devil's destination. But if you walk along a road and you never meet the devil, it means you and he are moving in the same direction and you will end up in the same destination." And so it is for all of us. We don't need to fear Satan, even if he's coming straight towards you on the road. Indeed, the more you shine for God, the more likely it is the enemy will try to stop you. For the enemy fears those he knows pose a danger to his kingdom. So understand today that you don't need to fear the devil. You've been placed on earth to overcome the devil. You don't need to fear the darkness. You are the light of the world. So stop living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. Jesus didn't die just to protect you from the devil. He died to give you the power to storm the gates of hell and overcome the devil. That's why he says in Matthew 16, 18, "I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And when you accept God's call to fulfill his purpose, then you take your place in God's plan. And all the powers of hell cannot conquer you. The enemy may roar, but we are victorious. For it's not by might, not by our power, but by the power of his promise we overcome. And it's time for you to ascend for God's glory. For God always wants to take you higher. When we accept his plan and purpose, he lifts us up. That's why Psalm 3:3 says, "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head." It doesn't matter what family you came from. What matters is the family you belong to now. You're in a new family. You're in a family of kings and priests. It doesn't matter where you came from. What matters now is where you're going. You're going to the heavenly city with the streets that are paved of gold. You're going up. That's why Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up," somebody shout up, "with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." God has called you to ascend up higher. He's called you to be seated with him in heavenly places. He's called you to be a city on a hill. But understand that being a city on a hill and being seated in heavenly places is a powerful and wonderful place, but it's also a place of responsibility. You can't go around sitting on a throne in heaven with your bad attitude and your messy life. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. See, God is calling us higher, but that's not just promotion. He's calling us to a higher standard of living, a higher standard of excellence. We have to understand something today. Many of us want to go up, but we don't want the responsibility that goes with being on top. We want the reward without the improvement. But God isn't just out to reward us. He wants to improve us and transform us. We have to change to go up higher. We have to be transformed to ascend. And if God is calling us to ascend, we need to be different. For the fact is, God didn't call you to be average. He didn't call you to be ordinary or natural. We are more than conquerors. And God is giving us more than what we ask or think. And God is a God of more, not less, of supernatural, not natural. And he takes us up and changes us into his image. We need to stop living like the people around us and living like Jesus so that our light can shine like a city on a hill. Once upon a time, an eagle built her nest in a tree. But one day during a very bad storm, lightning struck the tree. The branch where the nest was lodged broke off, and the nest fell to the ground. One of the eagle eggs rolled out of the nest and happened to roll into a compound where chickens were kept. Well, the next day, one of the chickens found the eagle egg and thought it was one of hers. So she pushed the eagle egg and joined it with her own. She sat on it, and eventually it hatched along with her chicks. When the hen saw the little eagle, she was not happy. "Oh, this thing is very ugly," she said. "It doesn't look at all like my other chicks." Nevertheless, she kept it and fed it and raised it like her own. All the other chicks used to make fun of that little eagle. They used to peck at it and laugh at it. The eagle didn't know why he was different, and he felt badly about himself. He tried his best to fit in and get along with the chickens. He pecked like the chickens. He tried to cackle like the chickens. He walked like the chickens. He ate with his face to the ground like the chickens. But he wasn't a chicken. And one day, this eagle grew up. He grew wings. And one day, he looked up in the sky and saw another eagle soaring high above the trees. He watched the eagle spread its wings out and fly. And this little eagle spread his wings, and the wind blew, and the eagle started to soar. He left those chickens behind and started to rise. He found his destiny when he acted according to his identity. Many Christians today are like that eagle. You mix up with the chickens. You act like the chickens. You keep your head down on the ground like the chickens. You pick up any scrap on the ground like a chicken. But you are not a chicken. God made you an eagle. God made you to soar. You're a new creature in Christ. You have a new nature. And the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing. He's lifting you to new heights. His wind is coming up under your wings. And he's lifting you to heavenly realms. He's calling you to ascend. Somebody say hallelujah. And there are horizons that will challenge you, but they will make you soar. It may be more comfortable to be with the chickens, but that's not where God called you. He hasn't called us to comfort and ease. He's called us to rise above. He's called us to ascend. He's called us to soar. We must be free, for we are called to his glory. That's why 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image as God, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And friends, God wants to take you from glory to glory. He wants to lift you and transform you. But the truth is, many of us need to change. You go around complaining and grumbling. Instead of going from glory to glory, you're going telling story after story. It's time to get it right and become like Jesus. We need more gratitude and less grumbling. We need more forgiveness and less fault finding. We need more love and less loose lips. Too many of us in the church want the promotion first, and then we say, "I will perform better." But God doesn't work like that. He wants to lift you up, but you have to let his Holy Spirit transform you. You can't bring that grumpy old attitude into your future. Leave it behind and go from glory to glory. For God is getting ready to elevate, expose, and exalt you. He's getting ready to set his church on a hilltop for the world to see. But that means we have to get ready to be seen. If you're going to be in the news, let the news be good, not bad. If you're going to be a city on a hill, you have to be ready to shine. If you're going to be elevated to a place of prominence and promotion where God's glory rests on you, then you have to be in a place where God's glory transforms you. And I say to you today, by the Spirit of God, it's time to dispel the darkness from your life. It's time to follow the light of God's word. It's time to purify your life, because your light has come. You may have been hidden for years, but your light has come. You may have been unrecognized, but your light has come. You may be unknown, but your light has come. You may have been toiling somewhere for 10 years or 15 years without any notice and no appreciation. It may seem that people don't value you. It may seem that no one is grateful. But the light has come to shine on you. So lift up your head and shine. That's the lesson we can learn from the inspiring true story of Pastor Joel Osteen. For 17 years, Joel Osteen served with his father, Pastor John Osteen. Joel produced the church's television program. He worked behind the scenes. He was behind the camera filming his father. He set up the church platform. He fixed the church lights. He helped make sure the service went smoothly. For 17 years, Joel Osteen never preached or taught or took the pulpit. But God was preparing him. God was dispelling the darkness and directing his path. Then, in 1999, 1 week before his father died, Joel Osteen preached his very first sermon in his life. When his father died 1 week later, Joel Osteen was appointed the pastor of his father's church, Lakewood Church. At that time, the church had 6,000 members, but Joel Osteen was taken from nowhere and made the head of the church. That was 21 years ago. Today, Lakewood Church is one of the largest churches in the world, with more than 45,000 people in attendance. The Lakewood Church services, led by Pastor Joel Osteen, are seen in over 100 nations around the world. Joel Osteen was hidden for years, but now he pastors a huge and influential church. God took him from obscurity to prominence. And that's what God is doing in all of his people. He says, you are the light of the world. I'm getting ready to set you up as a city on a hill. It's time to ascend and let your light shine. It's time to get ablaze and get the light out into the darkness. It's time to let the world see the glory of God through you. That's why Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And that brings us to our third truth today. You are called to act for impact. Jesus concludes his teaching in Matthew 5:16 with this command to us to act for impact. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, there's something you must do. You have to let your light shine. God has done his part. He's called you for his purpose. He's given you his light. He's given you the power to do his will and to shine for his glory. But you have a part to play as well. You have to let your light shine. You have to do good works so that men will see them and give God the glory. See, God's plan for your life will not be fulfilled automatically in any one of us. We have a part to play. Our participation is required in order to let our light shine. We have to act in order to have good works in our lives. And the truth is, God's miracles often require our participation. The great things God has planned for your life involve your active cooperation with God. In fact, all through the Bible, this same command was given to men and women of God. Listen to what God said to Israel in Deuteronomy 1:8. I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land. In other words, God gave the land of Canaan to the Israelites, but there was something the children of Israel had to do. They had to act for impact. They had to go and possess what had been given. And the fact is, what is given by God is not automatically yours. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. The giving is God's part. The possessing is my part. And God is speaking to us today. Arise, get up, act. There's something you must do. He's given you his light. He's made you a city on a hill. Now he's commanding you to act today. For all of us are called by God to be ablaze. And all of us are called by God to ascend. And all of us are called to get up and act for impact. Listen to Ephesians 5:14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. His glory will shine on you when you awake and arise. See, friends, here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. God feeds the sparrows, but he doesn't throw the food into their nest. You may feel unable. You may view yourself as inadequate. You may be sitting here saying, God, send me power. But God works in the weak to perfect strength. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. And when he tells us to arise, he's giving us a command to act. And all you have to do is answer that call. You can choose today to participate in God's plan and purpose. Hear his voice calling to you today from Acts 26, 17 and 18. I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's a command to act for impact. We have to participate with God and shine the light so the world will come to Jesus. That's the lesson we can learn from the inspiring true story of a man named A.W. Milne. A.W. Milne was what was known as a one-way missionary over 100 years ago. In those days, a one-way missionary was someone who went to the mission field for the rest of their life without ever expecting to return to their homeland again. Instead of buying a return ticket, they bought one-way tickets. When they left for the mission field, instead of using suitcases to pack their belongings, they would pack their personal items in a coffin. It was a sign that they intended to live and serve God on the field and die there. A.W. Milne was this type of missionary. He left the USA for the New Hebrides Islands. Every single missionary who had gone to that land ahead of Milne had been martyred by the people living there. God blessed A.W. Milne, and he labored in the New Hebrides Islands for 35 years. He planted churches, led souls to Christ, and preached the gospel to all those who lived there. At the end of his life, he died and was buried in the New Hebrides Islands. And when the people buried him, this is what they wrote on his headstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. May that be said about all of us, wherever we go. When he came to this office, there was no light. But when he left, there was no darkness. When she came to this compound, there was no light. But when she left, there was no darkness. May that be said of us. For you see, it's not just missionaries or famous men of God that are called to bring the light. It's all of us. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And those words echo down through time to us today. God has a purpose for your life. Will you accept the call to his purpose? God has the promise of his power that will enable you to do what he's called you to do. Will you believe that you are capable because of his promise? And when you say yes and yield to him, you become the light of the world. You will shine like the sun's brilliance. You will shine like the stars above. For God promises to you today in Daniel 12:3, and those who are wise, the people of God, shall shine as brightly as the sun's brilliance. And those who turn many to righteousness will glitter like stars forever. For you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The hope
of nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.